great spirit this morning in this place, and we truly believe that the Lord is here, and we don't want to do anything to quench His spirit. And I trust that that'll be true of each of us today. You know, the Word of God has a lot to say about what we've been doing already. We've been thanking God in song and in prayer, and hopefully you've been doing that from your heart to His while you're either standing or seated. And so this morning I want to just reflect on what the Bible has to say about gratitude. Now, here's what I want you to do. While I'm speaking, I want you to be listening, of course, but I also want you to be thinking, what could I stand up if I was given an opportunity this morning? What could I stand up and say to the Lord in the way of thanksgiving? What could I say from a heart of gratitude this morning to my God, to my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? Because you might get an opportunity to do that before the day's out, okay? Y'all following my lead? You stirring what I'm frying? Okay? So be thinking about that as you're listening. You know, in the New Testament, Paul would write these words, "In everything, give thanks." That's very general, isn't it? In everything, give thanks. That means whenever the day is tough, or the times are tough, or it's soaring like an eagle for you today, give thanks in everything. I could think of a thousand things that would be tough for me to give thanks to God about concerning. Don't you think so? At least a thousand. But He commands us, He admonishes us to give thanks always in everything. For this is the will of God. How many of you want to be in the will of God? This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So if we want to be in God's will, then we'll learn to be thankful people. The alternative is to be unthankful, to be a whiner, a complainer. Now, this is an inside joke. If you missed the sermon a few weeks ago, I thought about asking Lou to stand up and give us a word of criticism, but I don't see her here this morning. That's a joke, okay? There is no Lou that I know of in this church. There is a Lou. Oh, there you are. She's over there going, "Oh, my soul." But that was an inside joke. You had to know the Lou I was talking about. And by the way, I took a week off. I took a week's vacation. So if the other Lou needs to stand while I'm at the back door, needs to come through and give me a word of criticism, that's fine. I appreciate it. It probably is not a very put-together message today, but I hope you'll listen to what God has to say. So take your Bibles to Psalms 100 and 1 Chronicles 16. Psalms 100 and 1 Chronicles 16. Now, you know Psalms 100 like the back of your hand. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." What is that telling us? That's telling us that every people everywhere ought to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. This psalm is written for all people for all time, not just for the Israelites. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." Everybody everywhere. And this is like the Ten Commandments. Did you know the Ten Commandments are for all people for all time? They are. That's why we ought to be careful what we do with them. That's another sermon, but this is one of those passages of Scripture, whether people are saved or lost, rich or poor, whether they're Americans, Russians, Chinese, they ought to be making a joyful noise unto the Lord. And then it goes on to say, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. There's no self-made people here today. It is He that has made us. You're where you're at because of God. You're who you are because of God. If you're saved, it's because God reached down and touched your heart and drew you to Himself and saved you. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. How many of us entered into this place this morning with thankful hearts, with grateful hearts, and with hearts full of praise? If you complained all the way to church, it's going to be hard for you to enter into this place with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. You know, when you can't find the kid's shoes and your belt's been misplaced and the kids didn't get their hair brushed and it's time to walk out the door and all the way to church, you're just, it's hard to enter in here. By the way, if you've listened to country and western or rock music all the way to church, it'd be hard to enter in here with thankful hearts and grateful hearts and hearts of praise unto our God. Amen or not? It does matter what you listen to. It does matter your attitude. It does matter. It does matter what you put before you every day. Because you won't be able to do this if you did that. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Why? For the Lord is good. How many believe that today? The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Aren't you glad that His truth has endured to our generation? Aren't you glad that we can hold the Word of God in our hand? This is truth, all truth, and it has endured. They have tried to destroy the truth of God. They've tried to eliminate the men of God, but the truth of God endures to all generations. I'm excited about that. It'll endure to the next generation. I promise you, if every leader on planet Earth decided to destroy the truth of God, the Word of God, the evidence of God, they would spend their lifetime trying to do that and they would fail miserably because it will endure to all generations. What are we doing to help it endure? What are we doing to spread it? What are we doing to ensure that this generation that lives around us knows the truth of God's Word? There's a lot to talk about when you're talking about gratitude. Being thankful for God, His goodness, His mercy, His truth, and Him speaking into our lives today. And so there's a psalm recorded in Chronicles. You might not have known this, but David, he is in the Psalms, he is actually reciting what he'd already said in places perhaps throughout the other parts of Scripture. And so they have constructed the tabernacle, they have set up the Ark of the Covenant, and they're dedicating it for God's service, for worship of Jehovah God, and for the people to bring offerings and to do the sacrifices that were prescribed for them to do. And David starts into this wonderful psalm right in the middle of all of that going on. And listen to what he says in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, starting in verse 7. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord And he delivered it into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Who was Asaph? Anybody remember? He was the choir director. And so he delivered this psalm. Why? So they could sing it before the Lord unto the Lord. Give thanks is the way it starts. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk you of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face continually. Remember His marvelous works that He had done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. O you seed of Israel, His servant. O you children of Jacob, His chosen one. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Now listen to this. Be ye mindful always of His covenant, the word which He commanded to a thousand generations. Think about what God did and said and gave us. We're still living in those generations. Drop down to verse 23. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day His salvation. Verse 24. Declare His glory among the heathen, that is the Gentiles, that's us, His marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. You know that little children's prayer, God is great, God is good? Boy, now that is a scriptural prayer. We've read about His goodness in Psalm 100. Now we're reading about His greatness. If you could just unpack that little children's prayer, you'd have a big job to do. God is great. God is good. We thank Him for whatever it may be. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Just think about that. Glory and honor are in His presence. Strength and gladness are in His place. Give unto the Lord, you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it may not be moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. And let men say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the woods sing out of the presence of the Lord. Did you know the trees sing? Well, they were singing yesterday. If you was in one hunting, the trees of the woods sing out at the presence of the Lord, because He cometh to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Wow. So much to think about there. So much could be said about our great God, our good God. And we are to be thankful because He has chosen to give us His grace, to call us to be His children, to put our being in heaven with Jesus already. We are already presently there with Him because Jesus is there. And one of these days He's going to call us out of here to be with Him there. Think about everything that you have that God has given you. Think about from the day that you can remember, 4, 5, 6 years old, until today. All that God has done for you, all that God has how he has sustained you, all that he continues to do. David would say, I've been young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. You think about all those coming up years to where you're at today, some 60, 70, 80, perhaps some maybe even 90. What has God done for us? All of the wonderful acts of God in your life. He is to be thanked and praised. We are to give back what He deserves, and that is a heart of gratitude to our God, our Maker. Now, as I was thinking about that, did you know that the word think and the word thank come from the same root word? You know what that reminds me of? We ought to be thinking about our blessings, and that'll cause us to be thankful for our blessings. You know why some people are complainers and whiners and always walking around looking like they've been sucking on sour persimmons or limes? It's because they don't think about what God's already done in their life. If they were thinking about it, then they'd be thankful for it. Yes or no? I like this anonymous quote. If my children have someone to thank for putting candy in their stockings on Christmas morning, do I not have someone to thank for putting 2 feet in mine? And George Herbert said this, O thou who hast given us so much, mercifully grant us one thing more. A grateful heart. I also looked on the internet. I thought, I wonder what the top 10 Thanksgiving quotes are. And this is what I found. Number 5 is, feeling gratitude and not expressing it is like wrapping a present and not giving it. Did y'all get that? Did it land? Feeling gratitude and not expressing it is like wrapping a present and not giving it. I thought that was so good. When you practice gratefulness, there is a sense of respect towards others. That may be what's wrong with our generation. A lack of respect is a lack of gratitude. Let's see, I'll read you a couple more. Reba McEntire made it. I have a lot to be thankful for. I'm healthy, happy, and I'm loved. How many of us could say the same thing as Reba? The thankful receiver bears a plentiful harvest. The thankful receiver bears a plentiful harvest. William Blake. So, being thankful. Being grateful. That ought to be something we do every day. I heard about a man who was walking through the forest, just enjoying the day, and a bear got after him. Boy took off running, hollering, screaming, pleading for mercy. And just as he fell down and the bear was just to grab him, he said, God, would you please make this a Christian bear? The bear got down on his knees and said, thank you, Lord, for the food I'm about to receive. You know, we are to pray and give thanks. That's what we're supposed to do. Philippians 4 and verse 6 says that we are to give thanks as we pray. Let me read that. It's a whole joyful passage, but just that one verse says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." See, we're not to be whiners or people with self-pity when we pray, thinking about everything we don't have or how everything didn't go for us that day, but we're to come before His presence with this thankful heart when we bring our supplications to the Lord. Pray, giving thanks. You know, we're supposed to meet together. And when we do, we're supposed to give thanks. Do you know what you're doing this morning is probably, in the Bible, it's probably one of the most biblical things that Christians are called to do. We're called to go. We're called to witness. We're called to do service. We're called to all kinds of things. But you know, to come together is probably as biblical as any other thing Christians are supposed to do. By the way, the early church, they'd meet almost every day. I don't think y'all want to do that. And they'd eat together almost every day. Why? It's biblical to come together. You know what we're supposed to do when we come together? This is what it says. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. When we come together, we're to meet together giving thanks. See, it's His mercy that allows us to enter into anything. When we enter into this place, we ought to come in here with thankful hearts. Not revengeful hearts. Not hearts full of self-pity or hearts that are complaining or hearts that are wanting somebody to knock a chip off their shoulder. Hearts of thanksgiving, gratitude when we come into this place. You got anything to be thankful for? You got anything that would well up inside of you that would make you want to sing, "Thank you, Jesus, thank you"? That song we sang earlier, "Thank you." We're to be thankful for our blessings. It says we're to enter into His gates with thanksgiving, to His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him. That means we are to be ready to give thanks for the blessings that He has given. As He blesses you, you are to bless Him in return. I saw a bumper sticker some time ago that said, it turned it around. It said, "America, bless God." I thought that was pretty pithy, don't you think? We always want God to bless us, hasn't He? Hasn't He? It's time we ought to be blessing Him. We are to give an offering of thanksgiving to God, a sacrifice of thanksgiving to God. Even when it's the hardest thing to do, we're to give thanks. I want you to note these references. Just listen. Leviticus 22:29 says, "Give a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord." Psalm 50 and verse 14 says, "Offer unto God thanksgiving." Psalm 107 verse 2 says, "Sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving." And Psalm 147 verse 7 says, "Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise," as He said in Psalms 95. Sometimes it might be tough to give thanks, but we're to do it anyway. In 2 Corinthians 9, 1 through 11, I'll not take you there, I'll not read them, but Paul is admonishing the people at Corinth to give. He's telling them that it's a blessing to give it. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And he's saying that whenever they're to give, he's telling them to get it together before I come. He's telling them that they ought to be hilarious givers. There ought to be so much joy and happiness and laughter even when they're giving that it's exciting to give. I know we're going to have the offering in a little while and it wouldn't hurt some of y'all to get excited about that. Don't get down about the offering. Get up about the offering. I heard a guy come to the pastor and he said, "Pastor, it's killing me. I'm having to tithe $100 a week. Could you please help and pray for me? God would help me." He said, "Let's get down here, son. Let's pray." He said, "God, $100 a week's killing him. Would you cut him back to where it's just $10 a week?" I mean, if it's $100 a week, you're making $1,000. Thank you, Jesus. I get $900 to live off of. All you asked is for $10. We ought to get excited about giving. If you've got something to give to God, shouldn't that be something of joy that just wells up in your heart to the one who created you, sustained you, and gave you life everlasting? As Paul recorded it for us, he said, if we'll give and be a blessing, then those who receive it will thank God for it. And so it will be both a blessing as it's given, and it will be a heart of gratitude as it's received will take place. And that's what Paul said. We're going to be giving to Lottie Moon in the month of December. There'll be some envelopes that you can put your Lottie Moon offering in. This is an offering over and above your tithes. And this offering goes to missionaries all across the world. I think there's either 16 or 1800 units now. There's between 3 and 4,000 full-time missionaries on the field right now, serving the Lord, sharing the gospel, preaching the word of God, translating the Bible, and teaching it to children and adults. And they're doing that as a lifestyle. They're doing it as a calling. It's their mission. And we're going to get to give to help them to do their job. And every penny you give in the month of December is going to go to them. Not anybody in Alabama or Georgia, not anybody in Alvarado is going to get that money. Not anybody in Tennessee is going to get that money. It's going to go to the missionaries. I promise you, when they get it, they're going to say, "Thank you, Jesus. Bless those people that gave it." They're going to do exactly what Paul said would happen because the people give to the Lord. So I hope you'll be praying about your gift to that Lottie Moon mission project, that Lottie Moon mission offering next month. In Philippians chapter 1 verse 3 it says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." Do you know we should thank God for one another? Look around the room, you see Miss Kalita, you see Brother Jeff, and you look up there and you see Miss Peggy, and look over here and you see Brother Mike Sanders, and look around even over here and Brother Dennis. And you know what you ought to say? God, every time I remember those people, those children of God that you put in my life, I'm thankful. I wish we could do like Paul did when he thought about the Philippian Christians. Every time I think about it, I thank God for it. Is that your heart today? If it isn't, get your heart right. Get your heart right with God. Get your heart right with one another. Because if you don't, you're not the one getting away with anything. You're missing out on a blessing. You're the one hurting, not anybody else. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I challenge you to look up the times Jesus thanks the Father. And I challenge you to look up the times the Apostle Paul thanks God for people and for blessings. It'll astound you. See, because thankfulness leads to closeness with God. Unthankfulness, a lack of gratitude, leads to a hard heart and foolishness and rejection by God. You know that that's what happens if you're not grateful and thankful? There's a verse of scripture that describes that, and that's where I'm going to close today. It's in the book of Romans, chapter 1. You know, Romans chapter 1 starts off talking about the gospel. It ends up talking about how people have gotten so far away from God. They've turned everything that He gave them into a lie, and they've worshiped the creature more than the Creator, and their hearts were darkened, and they ran after iniquity. And it says that God gave them up to those things, those vile affections. It says God gave them up to their uncleanness. And then finally it says God gave them over to a reprobate mind. How did that all start? How do you get to a place where God gives you up to uncleanness and vile affections and even gives you over to your depraved and reprobate mind? How does that happen? I want you to take a look with me. There in chapter 1, and you know I had it. You guys are waiting on the edge of your seats for this. Oh my goodness. Verse 21. Thank you, my dear. I read over it 3 times and I couldn't see it. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were, say it with me, thankful. That's how it all started. That's what alarms me about people that just have a hard spirit, a mean spirit. They're always looking for the bad, always wanting to complain. That's what alarms me about young people that just can't say thank you. There's two or three phrases that ought to be in everybody's vocabulary. Please. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Thank you. Somewhere, these little ones didn't get taught that. God help us. If you're a teacher at school, and or you're a teacher in Sunday school, or you have children, you know what y'all take the time to do before they get grown? Set them down and say, be grateful. Say thank you. Say please. Say I'm sorry when you do something that's wrong. Admit it. Because if you don't have a thankful heart, a heart of gratitude, you know what can happen? Your heart gets more wicked, it gets more vile against God, and before you know it, God's given you up, God's given you up, and God's given you over. I don't want that to happen to anybody. So, y'all been thinking about what God's been doing in your life and what you could thank Him for. And so, don't bust the door down, but who would be first? Just to stand up and say it where everybody could hear it. Say, I just want to thank God for and fill in the blank. Is there anybody? There she is. Thank God for traveling grace. Yes, Joseph. Praise be. Thank God for people that come by and serve. Brother Ray. That ought to be in the top 10, Brother Ray. Brother Michael and then Tim. There'll be special rewards. Brother Tim. Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. God bless you. That's in the top 10. Brother Steve. Amen. Who'll be next? I got one before you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Cleta. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Christian friends. Yes. Couple more. Yes. Thank you. That's right. Mm-hmm. Christian upbringing. One more. Well, thank you. God bless you. You're awfully sweet. I'll give you that 20 a little later. 50. That's going to hurt. Oh, I got one more. Yes. Thank you, Pat. Thankful for family. Was there somebody else just about to get up? Well, listen, you don't have to wait till the week of Thanksgiving to be thankful. Be thankful in everything. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Now, one other thing. Brother Tim mentioned the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all our sins. Did you know that if Jesus hadn't done what he did on the cross, there would be no reason for us to even be here today? We'd have nothing to be truly grateful for without Jesus. You read the Old Testament, you read the New Testament, it's all about Jesus. We need to be talking about Jesus Christ and be thankful for Him. If you do not yet know Him as your personal Lord and Savior, in just a minute when we have an invitation, would you come down here and take me by the hand and say, Brother Joe, I want to talk to you, or I want to talk to somebody about how to be saved. And we'll help you, I promise. So as we stand, and Miss Dana comes, and those who are going to play for us come, let's bow our heads. We've had a day of thankfulness to the Lord. We've had an opportunity to share what God is doing in our lives and to be thankful together for it. Wouldn't it be awesome if today, before we leave, somebody got saved and the church could just applaud Jesus one more time for what He does, why He came? The angels would sing in heaven. Father, we just thank You that we have the privilege to come together, to assemble, and to enter into this place with thankful hearts. And Lord, we just give You our praise and our adoration. We want You to get glory because You deserve it. So help us to give You that offering, that sacrifice of thanksgiving, even now. And as we offer this invitation, Lord, would You just call somebody out to be saved or to come to be a part of this church and to join this fellowship. Lord, whatever You need to do, I'm not going to tell You what to do, Lord. We just want to say, God, do whatever You want to do and help us to follow You faithfully. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What are we singing, Miss Dana?
Wonderful, Merciful Savior.
Wonderful, Merciful Savior. Let's sing together. This invitation is open. You come.